There are so many means of communication, especially in today's society, when you think about how huge the internet has been. And we have so many things that, you know, I mean, even when people buy a cell phone, they don't even know how to make a regular phone call anymore because there's so many apps in that phone. There's so many things, there's so many means of communication. And people use all kinds of gadgets and devices to communicate with others. There's radio, phone, letters, symbols, text, face-to-face communication. So many. I mean, you think about with all the technological devices that we have, that there's no way that we could miscommunicate, but we still do it. And with all the technological appliances and devices that we have, you might think that there's no way that we, you know, that we always get the message, you know, that you don't have to repeat it, but, you know, and that we'd be closer, but we are distant even with all the things that we have that's supposed to bring us together, and then we still act as if we're just still far away from each other. I love around this time of the year when usually on the TV you go and see soldiers that are still back serving our country. They talk to their family via a phone or computer camera, and it's amazing because, you know, right there they can see their families, and maybe they have a baby and they can see the baby smile through the camera, and just like amazing that they can, you know, because of the technology, you can do that today. You can talk to somebody across the globe and you can see what that person is doing all right there instantly. Isn't that amazing? But nothing is a substitute for face-to-face communication. There's nothing like face-to-face communication. I mean, you know, when you're right there with that person, talking to that person. And you see, that's exactly how it was. Solomon was talking about in Genesis 2 today, and he and I didn't talk about, he and I did not communicate, but that's exactly where I want to take you, because when you go into the scripture, the face-to-face communication, that's when you see how God and man used to communicate. I mean, can you just picture God and man just chatting? You know, sitting down, the two of them together, that's the picture you get in Genesis 1 and 2. It says that when the Lord God, the creator of the universe, created everything, and then he created mankind, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, mankind became a human being, and the Lord blessed them, and he said, multiply, and they would talk to one another. They would take walks in the park in the cool of the day, in the garden. I mean, some of us don't get that picture, like how God and man wear these clothes, man. Hey, how you doing, Adam? Oh, man, it's doing good. I just had an issue with the lion the other day. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, they're just talking and communicating. You know, that was the picture. That's, I mean, the perfect relationship right there, the perfect what we know as fellowship. The Bible says in Genesis 2 that God will bring the animals to the man, and man was the one who gave the animals the name. I mean, look at, I mean, just, it's like Adam's like, flabbergasted, was like, wow, look at how beautiful creation is. And the most beautiful of all creation was humanity, because God gave him the spirit, which he did not give to the animals and the plants. See, this connection between, I mean, this is how they used to be right here. Man and God together, perfect unity. But then you go to chapter 3 and something happened. Something happened to that relationship. You know what happened? Something broke the relationship between man and God. We know that we call that sin. Sin separated mankind from the Creator. You see, one day, the man and the woman were coming, and somebody came and said, psst, hey lady, how would you like it better? I mean, think about that for a moment. That preposition that Satan brought to the woman, what could have been better? What could be better than you and God hanging out together? And he said, he had the audacity to say to her, how would you like it better? God's not really showing you the full picture. You see, sin, you can translate sin as disobedience. Sin is going against God's authority. Really, the serpent, Satan told the woman, just you know, question God's authority. God's not telling you everything. You know, God knows that if you do this, you'll be like God. They were already like God. That's the lie of the devil. So something happens, he broke. I mean, you know, we cannot fix this hole, this gap, this gulf in here between man and God. And the news about this is that you would have pictured that mankind eventually would try to do this. You know what mankind is doing? Ever since the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, we've been pulling away from God. We're just kicking God out of everything that we don't want anything to do with God. And God, you know what God's been doing? He took the initiative to try to get close to mankind. And he would do it. And God began to tell people, to select a few people to tell him about his plan, what he wanted to do with the world, what he wanted to do to bring us back, because this cannot be like this. There's some kind of reconciliation that has to happen between man and God. And so God began to tell people like Noah about his plan, people like Moses, I'm about to do something great to fix that disconnection. People like Abraham. You know, it's interesting when you talk about Moses, God, you know, because this is never, I mean, you know, you're just like nothing can fix it. When you think about what's going on here. So God would do this. Occasionally, he would just like, and appear. For instance, the tabernacle. Mankind would see a glimpse of God, you know, smoke and the mountain and the voice of God thundering. And, you know, the Israelites, I mean, you can see that fear got into the world. They would not even want to be close to God because now, because of sin, fear entered the world. And God would occasionally appear this close. The Ark of the Covenant. The tabernacle, you know, then they had to send somebody to talk to God because not everybody can come. Because this sin, the Bible says that it makes us enemies of God. It separates us. I mean, this is a holy God and we're sinful people. There's no way that we can get close to him anymore. There's a disruption to our communication. You know, everything was affected by sin, by the disobedience. Mankind decided to go their way. God's been the one doing, you know, they're pursuing, trying to tell people, you know, going and telling him about his plan that he has, how he's going to restore mankind back to himself. The Bible says that God chose prophets. In our text today in Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. God selected a prophet. You know, a prophet will appear to you and say something like, thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. The prophets were the mouth of God. God is announcing his plan. How he's going to fix this. He's telling the prophets. And so the prophets will say things like, there was one that says, everybody will know me. You know, Jeremiah talked about, and another, Jeremiah also said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. But the problem is that they were not seeking God. God is still pursuing mankind, and he will appear occasionally and go back. And he would just do this and come back. Do this and come back. And mankind is always doing this from God. There was another prophet that says something like, a virgin will give birth to a son. And she will give the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. A virgin will be with a child. Prophets begin to communicate what God is about to do. I mean, God's going to do the unthinkable to fix that gap that sin created. Because sin makes us enemy of God. It separates us from a holy God. And there's no way that you and I, in our sinful condition, can even get close to him. You see evidence of that in Genesis 19. God showed up on the mountain. The people did not even want to be there. Isaiah 6, Isaiah sees a vision of heaven, and he had enough. That's the worship service. Isaiah just wanted to get out of there in a hurry. He says, like, I'm done. It's like, don't show me anymore, God, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. You see, because of sin, you and I cannot approach God. He's so holy. Something, who's going to fix that problem? God's still doing that. Prophet saying a virgin will give birth to a son. In our text in Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. Prophets communicated God's message to us that something was going to happen also, that God was going to fix that problem that sin created. In our text says, verse 2, Hebrews 1:2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. God spoke through the prophets. various times in many different ways through visions and dreams and, you know, and just telling them. But in this last day, the author of Hebrews says he has spoken to us through his son. Now, when the writer of Hebrews says these last days, for him, this last day was the first century, right before the year 100. In the past, that's B.C. You see, it's been nearly 2,000 years since God spoke to humanity through his son, Jesus. And the author of Hebrews says, he spoke to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact replica or representation of his being. God announced his plan through the prophets. Like Isaiah said, a virgin will be with a child. For to us a child is given, a son, and the government will be under his shoulder. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophet said somebody was going to come. And that somebody was Jesus. Right here, the author of Hebrews says, but in this last day, God has spoken to you and I. It's almost like God upgraded his communication. In this last day, he has spoken to us via his son. God himself, that's the Emmanuel that the Bible talks about. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from in the beginning. All things were created by him and through him. That's what the author of Hebrews also says, that through whom he made the universe. The whole universe came by the power of God. God spoke things into existence and things happened. And then John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. The Word, the creating being, became flesh. The one who created everything became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen the glory of the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what happened when the Word became flesh? Let me illustrate that for you. This is what happens. God moved into our neighborhood with Jesus. Jesus, God the Creator, came back and walked with us again. Jesus said that to see Jesus was the same as to see God the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. So even though we have this huge gap that sin created, God said, you know, nobody else can fix that. I'm going to go myself and fix it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God himself showed up and said, hey, I'm here to fix that problem you created. And we know how he fixed that problem. Yeah, God became a baby. That's what we know as the incarnation. But the baby didn't do anything. You know, some of those Christmas songs that I like, a battle was by a baby boy, that's just ridiculous. Baby boy didn't do anything. In fact, he had to be protected from a wicked king. It wasn't baby Jesus who saved anybody. Like some people still praying to baby Jesus, which is one of the most ridiculous things that I ever seen. It was the man Jesus. The Bible is very clear. It says Jesus became, he was like about 30 years old when he did those things. 33 when he died. But he became a man. And you know, the author of Hebrews says even that. He says, when you keep on reading, it says the song is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The radiance of God's glory is almost, in the Old Testament, you only saw glimpses of God and the glory. You cannot even get close to him, but now you can see the glory of God in the flesh. To see into the eyes of Jesus was really to see into the eyes of majesty, God himself. And he says, sustaining all things by his powerful word, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name that he has inherited. Jesus is the one in control. He said that all authority has been given to me. So the Word became flesh. God moved into our neighborhood. Why did he do that? Because there was a huge problem that needed a solution. And the only solution to that problem was Jesus Christ himself. You see, Jesus, my friend, is God's final word to the world. God became a man to live in our sinful world. He came to rescue you and I from sin. He came so that you and I can be reconciled back to God. That's, you know, the Bible says there's no mediator between man and God, but Jesus Christ, the man. He brings us back. That connection that we, you know, you could not even talk because there was static. He fixed it. He was the greatest mechanic and technician. He just came and fixed it by himself. So you and I be at peace with God. Before, we were enemies. Remember, we were enemies. Enemies. And he did this. He got between God and mankind so that we can have again a relationship with God. And it will be going back to how it used to be in Genesis 1 and 2 so that we can have this relationship that will... You see, when it comes to relationship, usually it takes two to have a reconciliation. You see, mankind, we know, wasn't doing his part to... But God had to do everything in this scenario. He came. Now, but still, if we're going to have a relationship, man will have to do something too. See, God did his part. He got so close to you. Now, what are you going to do? I mean, he's right there. So through Jesus Christ, you and I can be reconciled. You and I can be at peace with God. Because the Bible says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is God's ultimate and final word. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he made the universe. And the Son is the exact replica of God the Father. Jesus is the solution to our sin problem. He was 2,000 years ago, and it still continues to be the solution to our problem, even in our society that we're dealing with. Sometimes people think it's like gun problem. You know what I mean? People just believe in Jesus. You don't have to worry about guns or whatever it is. It is the same problem that we have. That's why we cannot get along. That's why we're always fighting with one another. That's why it becomes racial slurs and all kinds of things. It's not really that. It's not really racial. You know what's imprinted in us? It's the sin issue that we have. And only he, Jesus Christ, can fix that when we let him. If we allow him to come into us. Jesus Christ is God's final word. And God's not saying any other words. There is no other testament of Jesus Christ out there. It's only one. I mean, Jesus is God's ultimate. It's almost like I'm sending you this message, and it's up to you what you're going to do with it. I'm not speaking anymore. I'm not sending you any other texts or emails. I'm not. That's it. Jesus is it. It's God's final communication for us and to us. He came so that you and I can once again enjoy fellowship with God, so that we can be friends with God, members of God's family. He is, Jesus was and is, God's final saying to us. And like I said, God is not going to send any other messages. He's not going to send any prophets. None of those guys are going to come back because Jesus is the final. And the question that you and I will have to wrestle from now on is, what are we going to do with God's message? How are we going to respond? When somebody sends you a message, even when you watch the news, you respond in two ways. You either ignore it or you either believe it. John, the writer of the Revelation, also the writer of the Gospel, says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God's message is this. He said, I love you this much that I gave you my Son so that through his death you can have life. So that through his death you and I can be at peace. So that through his sacrifice that we celebrate every Sunday in communion, through that sacrifice, you can be reconciled back to majesty, back to God, and your relationship be amended, your relationship be restored. He's the restorer. That's what Jesus Christ did, and that's why he came, to bring us back to God. But some of us are still running away from him. Some of us still don't want to be reconciled back to the Father. God has spoken, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, some people say, God spoke, so what? There's the two choices you and I have. Either to reject it, continue our own ways and our sinful nature, or to embrace it. Either way, whichever choice you make has eternal consequences. You reject it, but you will never see life in God, but you receive it, you embrace it, then you will be saved. That's what John 3:36 says, if you believe in the Son, you have life, he said. But if you do not believe in the Son, you will not see life because the wrath of God remains in you. So there's the two choices. He that believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. One message, one communication. What you going to do with it? You either believe that, yes, I'm a sinful individual, and thank you, God, that you love me so much that you gave me an opportunity so that I can be with you forever. And that opportunity, his name is Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ that you and I can be reconciled back to God. You either believe that, and then you have life. But the Bible says, Jesus, the one talking, says you don't believe in him, you reject him, then you will never see life. You're still enemy of God. When you say no to Jesus, you create this again. You're separated from God. And if you die like that, don't expect to go to heaven. Because it's only by him coming to us and us embracing him in Jesus Christ that he allows us into his eternal kingdom. So God has spoken. We know what he said. Say, I'm giving you my son so that through him you can have life. So the question is, how are you and I going to respond? And I think many of us already have responded to Jesus. But there are so many people out there that they still need to hear the same message. They're still living their lives and Jesus is not even on their radar. They're still going and they're enemies of God. And if they died in that condition, they will not see life. God sent one message and he's not changing us because of you. You know, sometimes we assume that, oh, because maybe I'm a good person. We're not good enough. We're not good enough in God's standard because we still live sinful. I mean, our goodness cannot outlast sin. We're good enough, like Mike and I always talk about, he says, based on our own interpretation, but based on God, we're enemies because we live in a sinful world. We are sinful individuals. We're born into sin. The moment that you bring a baby into this world, he has that DNA, he has that thing, that stain in him, sin. He's going to be doing sin issues. I mean, you know that because you never teach a baby how to get angry. How do they know that? How do they learn that? Who taught them? You can say, oh, they got that from daddy or mom. No, they got that from a DNA, sinful. You never had to teach them how to be nasty to their friends. We learned that in our sinful nature. You see, the beauty is that we had to learn how to be gentle to one another. We had to learn how to be nice to one another because being bad, it comes natural. That's the whole sin that we have, and we needed help. You and I cannot save ourselves. God had to come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ to redeem us, to buy us back, so that you and I can enjoy a relationship with God forever and ever. So God spoke, he has spoken, he's not speaking anymore. Whatever he wanted to reveal, he already said it. His disciples wrote what we have today in our own language. We can read it. And the final message in Revelation, he says, look, I make all things new. In Revelation, John said, the writer says, now the dwelling of God is with man. Once again, all because Jesus Christ made that possible that you and I will live with God forever and ever. Happily ever after. If you believe in Jesus. It's almost like I said, I love you so much. This is my message. My last one. And then after that, I drop the mic. That's it. I'm not speaking anymore. So Jesus, it is. I love you and I gave him for you. So what are you going to do with him? John says it. If you believe in him, you have life. If you reject him, you will not see life because God's wrath still remains on you. So embracing the Son, really, that's what God expects you and I to do. God expects you to respond to his message with a, yes, I'm embracing Jesus because through him I can have life. Through him I can be restored back to the Father. So Jesus Christ is God's final message.